talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still dreams. I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, with the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. Split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing.
Welcome, folks, back to another edition here of The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett Show, brought to you Mondays through Fridays here on RBN, real news, real talk, and real people. I don't have any guests for you this evening, but I do have a lineup of some things that I want us to cover this evening, because we've been talking a lot here on RBN. Many people have been talking about what is happening with the world state of affairs. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Bennett on Mondays and Fridays here on RBN. And today's date is February the 20th, 2023. Now, as many of you know, RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, is purely listener supported. We count on your generous donations to help keep us going on the air. And many of us people that are out there are asking for those of you, if you know anybody who wants to sponsor RBN, please get them in touch with the RBN staff. And reach out to Mike and say you would like to donate or you would like to be a sponsor. Maybe you have something that you would like to promote or advertise that you feel that patriots and Americans across the nation around the world might be interested in. My son has been telling me about these special kind of mats that I'm going to be ordering one this evening. It's something that is sort of like grounding yourself. And if you go to one of my websites, I'm going to be putting up on there what these grounding mats are all about. And there's a whole science behind this. And so I myself am very interested in what some of the sponsors across the nation are putting out as holistic means, using natural herbs, natural remedies, and this new thing called grounding. And what it is that it turns out because there's electricity in the ground, that we are made up of electricity and water, that those people who have found themselves having health issues have actually taken off their shoes when the weather is fairly nice and walked in their grass or walked on the dirt and found that there's a whole change that comes over their body. And it's actually for some people, they found there's been healing properties that has healed them from certain arthritis, certain physical conditions they had just by walking 20 to 30 minutes a day on grass or on plain dirt, something with the contact of your feet with the ground I tell you, it's miraculous, some of the stories I've been hearing. They've even found that children in public schools and private schools that had certain special challenges like ADD or ADHA or severe autism, that they would take them outside and take off their shoes for a little while and walk them in the back field where the football field was or where there was a grassy area. And the children could come back into the classroom and they were calmer. They were able to better focus and concentrate on their studies. So there is something to it, folks. I don't know a lot about it. I'm still studying the science of it, but there's definitely something there, okay? And I also learned when I was growing up, I had a mother that was a classical pianist. As she started taking piano when she was about 5-6 years old. She was teaching piano by the time she was 15. And she taught piano for over 30, 35 years. Was so talented. She had a background in playing in the Oakland Symphony. And she was just amazing when it came to classical music. They're discovering now that if you have your young people listen to classical music, very low turn down in the room with them, okay? Doesn't have to be really loud, doesn't have to be really blaring, but if you turn on classical music while they're doing their homework, especially when they're doing their math or their chemistry or science, that they have found statistically these students have their grades have gone up and some of them have excelled in the math and the sciences. There's something about the classical music that we understand that has something to do with what it does. It triggers something in the brain. So if you have a child or a grandchild or a nephew or niece that's struggling in school, especially with math and sciences, I was never very good with math. I was really piss poor when it came to math growing up. And I had some real issues because of the abuse that I sustained from a third grade teacher when I was trying to learn my multiplication tables growing up. And I was so-so in science. I wasn't good, but I wasn't real bad until I hit a high school. And then I had some real struggles with one of my two science teachers. One, I was getting straight A's in and I couldn't do enough to even do extra homework and everything. He really, really inspired me and excited me when it came to microbiology and various things in the sciences. And then I had another teacher that taught just plain marine biology, and I couldn't do anything good enough for him. And he was just constantly failing me, and I became very depressed and decided, okay, I guess this is not for me. So it just depends a lot on the type of teacher you have. Do you have a teacher that's strong, maybe strict, but compassionate and loving, and really wants to see their students succeed and excel? Do you have teachers that are just there to get a paycheck and rush home at the end of the day and won't stay after to maybe help a student with something that they're struggling with? But I guarantee you, from everything I've seen, from the paperwork that I've read, from the journals that I've read, you play classical music for your student on a regular ongoing basis while they're doing their math or their algebra or their chemistry, and I think you'll notice a difference. Again, it doesn't have to be turned on really loud in the room, but just where it's background, where the student can hear it as they're doing their homework. Nowadays, so many teachers, though, you know, they're so lazy. They don't want to correct homework. And so what they'll do is they'll say, well, you know, I have some students that bring the homework back and some don't. And some have parents that really make them do their homework or grandparents and others that don't. And it's just a waste of my time. And many of them don't even want to take homework that the students have done home with them to correct, because they say, well, no one's paying me after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, nobody pays me to go home and correct papers. Excuse me, that goes with the territory. You're a piss poor teacher and pretty darn lazy if you're not willing to go home and spend at least an hour correcting papers in the evening, after the dinner hour, after your kids have been put to bed, before you turn on the TV with your husband or your wife. And you know, an hour correcting papers for your students. Excuse me? So many teachers don't want to give out homework because they don't want to have to correct it. And I don't accept that as an answer. I grew up with a mother that she would make sure we were taken care of and we had our dinner meal and we had our homework done and we were put to bed. And she'd be correcting papers maybe at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And she did this for over 20-something years, okay? And the same with her college students. You know, she would take the homework home that they had done or whatever, and she'd correct papers. And my own son teaches middle school. And I'm sure that his 6th, 7th, and 8th grade classes that he has, he is a teacher at a school called Sequoia Middle School. It's a back-to-basics, sort of like a charter school in a way, a back-to-basics school. And I'll bet you 10 to 1 that from what I hear, he's probably still correcting papers after his children have gone to bed at night. He's got three little girls. So it's really behooves a lot of these teachers to understand that homework is important. And kids who do not have teachers giving them homework are finding that there's a disservice being done to them. Because what homework is supposed to be is that the student learns a certain item at school, a certain way of doing math, or a certain way of approaching history, okay? But the class is only 30 to 45 minutes or an hour, depending upon what class or subject you're in. The student needs to go home and read the chapters up on that math assignment or read the chapters on that history assignment, because then that's reinforcing what they learned that day in school. And then when it comes time to take a test, they go home and they spend a day or two studying for that test and going over again the materials the teacher taught in the classroom, going over their old homework assignments, looking at the papers, how they were graded, going over the problems that they missed, getting the right answers. And when they go back and they're ready to take the test, they really are ready to take the test. Unfortunately, what's happening also nowadays, and there's a big excuse that the schools don't have enough money for books for children to take those books home. I don't accept that as a legitimate excuse. That's not acceptable to me. If you can spend thousands of dollars in doing fundraising to put in a brand new football field for your high school, and you can have all these fundraisers for, you know, these different programs you have at your school, whether it's public or private, then you can darn well do a fundraiser to purchase the textbooks that these students need so they can actually have a book that they can hold in their hands, they can go home and they can study out of. And make sure that you hold those students responsible for those books. Say, look, you're not allowed to mark in them, you're not allowed to underline. If there's a particular part in the book that you want to mark, then take one of those little post-its or those little sticky arrows and then put that on the edge of the page of the book. That way you're not highlighting with yellow marker that, you know, is permanent, or with the pen or pencil that's permanent, but a way to mark so you can have the student pick out those parts of the book, those chapters that they want to go back and reread or concentrate on later. Where there's a will, there's a way. Unfortunately, we have a lot of lazy teachers out there. Now, don't get me wrong, we have some really good teachers too, who actually understand that their school district is either misappropriating funds or sending money somewhere else. And so the teachers are doing what they should not have to do. They're dipping into their own pockets and taking money out of their own paycheck to go buy their students' supplies. And that should not happen either. So again, what is happening in America right now? We're seeing this across the board as a dumbing down of America, dumbing down of our students. And one of the things that we're discovering over the last two or three generations, Generation Z, Generation X, Gen X, whatever they call it, is that these students are not capable, for some reason, many of them don't seem capable of using critical thinking skills. And they're not able to think outside the box. This is what the commies want. This is what the globalists and the New World Order wants. While they're trying to force these shots, these inoculations into us to basically destroy our RNA and our DNA, make us transhuman 2.0, where they can easily manipulate us, control us. I mean, look back in history. The Germans were brought over here at the tail end of World War II. Some escaped to South America. Others were brought to the U.S. And within 24 hours of hitting our shores, they were sworn in as American citizens because there was a deal between our government after World War II and the German Nazis that they would do certain things for our government. Now, some of the people that came in under that program were the Bushes. George Bush Sr., our president of the United States, and later his son George Jr., they were actually part of the German Nazi family in Germany. And their last name was not Bush. It was Schiff with an S. They changed it to Bush, B-U-S-H. So people would not see that they were German. It is no different than what happened with my Uncle Hugh O'Brien, whose real last name was Krampe, K-R-A-M-P-E, which is German. And near the end of World War II, he was just making it in the movies. One of the first movies he made was with Burt Lancaster in Vengeance Valley. And he was told, if you want to make it in Hollywood, you cannot use the last name Krampe, K-R-A-M-P-E. You have to use a different last name because it's too German sounding. And that's because it was German. So he had a good friend, an actor by the name of Pat O'Brien. Good old Irish name. It was not unpopular to be Irish at the tail end of World War II. So he decided to choose the last name O'Brien to be his stage name. And as you all know, he took off and played Wyatt Earp on TV for over 10 years, had his own TV series. He played in the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger as their father, or at least as Arnold's father in the movie Twins. And he went on to make many, many movies, and Fantasy Island and 10 Little Indians and Wild Women. So many movies. He would have never made it in Hollywood beyond 1943-45 if he had not changed his last name. Unfortunately, many of those German Nazis were able to hide and continue their dirty games here in the United States once they got over here. One of the things the Germans brought with them was fluoride. What does fluoride do? Well, they found that it was able to be given to the Jewish population in the concentration camps as a way of dumbing them down, of kind of making them more passive, of pacifying them. So what happened? Fluoride ended up finding its way into the drinking water in the city drinking water systems in California. And fluoride was deliberately put in the waters of California and has been to this day. Many of these German Nazis were able, after they changed their last name and got involved with many different projects that they invested in, they ended up insidiously finding their way working for various different toothpaste companies. And they were making toothpaste. And all this toothpaste, as you know, has had fluoride put in it. And the dentists that have gone to dental academies and schools over the years were made to be convinced that fluoride was the best thing and it's going to protect you from getting cavities. We all know that when you brush your teeth, there's a chance you can swallow a little bit of the toothpaste. There you go. One way or another, hook or crook, they're going to find a way to get that fluoride into us. Now, in Oregon, the state of Oregon, they allow toothpaste to be sold that has fluoride in it, but there's been many, many attempts over the years to try to get fluoride put in the water of Oregonians' drinking water, and they've shot it down every time. Do you not think that maybe people in Oregon know something that the rest of the country has been dumbed down and is not aware of? Now, unfortunately, there was a company by the name of Tom's, and it has been selling natural substances for years, natural creams, natural toothpaste. Well, all of a sudden, that Tom's company got purchased by another company recently. And now suddenly you're seeing Tom's is coming out with toothpaste that says with fluoride in it. This is not a good thing, especially for those of us that want to use the more natural or more holistic means of brushing our teeth or using certain hand creams or face creams. One of the things that we're discovering, and Mike, I don't know it. I don't even know if we're broadcasting right now. It looks like it's trying to buff and it's spinning around. So let me know if I can still be heard out there. Okay, so I don't have anybody else in my house right now that's doing the internet that I know of. So, but yeah, it looks like it's still buffering around and still spinning. So hopefully, okay, so he says everything is good right now. So one of the things that I wanted to be able to play for some of you this evening is something that came across my desk recently. And it's where many people have been sharing with me that what they're trying to do to us is they're basically trying to use fear, continuously using fear as a control mechanism. And so I wanted to play part of this for you guys to hear, because this is something that people like Dr. Peter McCullough and others have come out and have tried to share with us what they see that's going on, how they've taken something that some of these doctors have created or made, and they've manipulated it to become very nefarious and harmful to the American people. So I'd like to first play this for you. See if we can get this here. And there we go.
We had a program. There was a program in stone.
Now this is coming from the Time Is Now movie. And I will type that into the chat box for Mike. And it's all capital, I guess. He can put it up on the website. It's called the Time Is Now movie. And this is where the doctor is talking about what is going on right now in our nation and what they have been trying to do to us. So it's very important that we listen to it.
Without any memos, without any phone calls, without any really direct communication, there was some type of mental program, a mass psychosis, a mass neurosis, a mass plan to promote as much fear, suffering, hospitalization, and death. A plan to deny early treatment. And only message, a message of fear, to wait in isolation, lockdown, and be saved by a vaccine.
Why don't you introduce yourself for us?
My name is Erin Olszewski. I'm from Tampa, Florida. I'm a registered nurse. I am an Army combat veteran. I served in Iraq 2003-2004. I am a mother of three small boys, and I guess I'm best known as the New York City nurse whistleblower.
Very few countries in the world lost more people to coronavirus than New York did, and no states lost more in the United States. How exactly did that happen? It's a question that needs a serious answer. Many people died. Finding out seems of no interest whatsoever to the press. They'd rather shame people for visiting the beach. Erin Marie Olszewski is a nurse. She spent almost a month working in New York's Elmhurst Hospital. That was the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak in the state. She was so shocked by what she saw that she began to collect undercover footage of what was happening around her.
I remember the news came on and they were talking about this coronavirus. And this was February. And I'm like, watch, this is going to be something. So I kept my eye on it. You know, anytime they introduce a new virus, there's going to be problems, you know, especially just being in the nursing field, you know, and working in the hospital, what can I expect? And then come March, you know, we're locked down, which never made sense. They locked us down to keep the hospitals, you know, able to, you know, function for the influx of COVID patients, which at my hospital here never came. There were no influx of patients. There was no way. They were actually furloughing nurses. At that point, I was already having red flags because it didn't make sense to lock people down if we weren't busy. And what it was doing is actually causing more illnesses and death by locking people that actually needed treatment in their homes. You know, they weren't coming to the hospitals and they were dying at home, you know, and becoming really, really ill. They were afraid. Everybody was really afraid. What they kept doing is just pushing back the wave. The wave will come. You know, and at this point, all eyes are on New York. You know, what's going on in New York?
2 hours, the Javits Center will complete its transition from a convention center into a makeshift hospital. It is one of many opening as the healthcare system prepares for this next surge of patients.
Gus, a field hospital inside of Central Park, something neighbors told me tonight they never thought they would see. But take a look behind me here. Here we are. The tents have gone up next to a children's playground inside Central Park and come to...
Now, folks, I want to stop there for just a moment. I had a relative that was old enough to know better. And she was telling me that MSNBC News and CNN were reporting nightly on the news, and she was sitting there watching this, that there were so many bodies all throughout New York. And we're not just talking about homeless people, but there were so many bodies, they were having to literally dig holes in Central Park and bury these bodies in the middle of Central Park. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You really believe that? You really believe that CNN News and MSNBC that are telling you this, that are trying to put the fear of God into people by reporting this? Now, we know that there's a lot of homeless people that die in the big cities, the Democrat-controlled cities, the blue state cities, that we don't know who some of them are, and they end up being put in Pauper's Grave, and there's an island right off New York where they're buried there, okay? And I believe that they're buried there respectfully. I would hope so. But for the fear-mongering to say that there were so many bodies and so many people dying that they had to bury them in Central Park because there wasn't enough room. That just really, you know, and this is a person that later on decided to go out and get the shot. And it cost this person their life, okay? Now, one of the things that we're finding is the fear-mongering, and a lot of this movie is about that, where they were using fear-mongering in order to control the people, to manipulate the people to do what they wanted them to do. Go out and get these jabs, get as many jabs as possible. And now say, oh, the first one isn't going to work. Well, now it's only going to last for a few months, so you have to go to get a second one. Oh, well, that one's only going to last 3 months, so then you have to get another one. And you'll just keep getting shots, 2 and 3 a year for the rest of your life, making the big pharmaceuticals wealthy while you're taking your chances and cutting in half and cutting in half again, that you may not survive to see your 60th or 70th birthday, which is part of the agenda of Bill Gates, the globalist, the New World Order, the Dr. Fauci's. You know, he is the epitome of what I would see if he had been back in World War II. He would have been one of those Nazis in the concentration camp. Horrific what people in the modern day 2023 are doing to our people, and the fear mongering. These hospitals were pretty much empty. We're hearing now where they made it sound like these, you know, they were paying these doctors and nurses, you better report that these bodies are practically hanging from the ceiling. We're so overinundated with bodies. And yet when people snuck into the hospitals, they found they were empty. There was hardly anybody in them. Doctors and nurses were actually beginning sent home because there wasn't enough work for them to do. Many of them were paid thousands of dollars an hour to say a certain particular spin story. And many of the doctors and nurses were placed on gag orders. I heard this myself as a nurse. I saw this in my own community. And to think that we still have people right now marching down and getting these jabs. I have a friend that we found this person partially unresponsive and had to have them ambulanced to the hospital. This person, we found out within 12 hours, that had 4 strokes, 2 on one side of their head, 2 on the other side of their head and the back of the head, making it impossible for this person to talk, making it impossible for this person to walk for a period of time, losing complete use of the right hand and the right arm. That's because 1 or 2 of the strokes were on the left side. This person's going to have 6 or 8 weeks more now of rehabilitation. And guess what? Why do you think these 4 strokes just showed up suddenly for a person that was healthy, exercised, volunteered 3, 4, 5 days a week in the community? Because this person had just had the 4th jab, the 4th inoculation, only about a week, week and a half before. I'm surprised this individual made it past the 2nd jab. Because I had family members, 5 of them, that didn't make it past the 1st jab. The Moderna and the Pfizer are the two worst of them all. The AstraZeneca is not good, and the J&J is not good either, but the two worst, where the most fatalities are taking place, the most strokes, heart attacks, and blood clots, is coming from the Moderna and the Pfizer. Let's go on with the rest of this.
It was clear. We had a program. There was a program installed without any memos, without any phone calls, without any really direct communication. There was some type of mental...
Now, we're going to go to a station break, I think, folks, here. You're listening to RBN because you can handle the truth. Republic Broadcasting Network is purely listener-supported, folks, and I think we're going to go to a station break. It's at the bottom of the hour.
I skipped it unless you really need it.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Mike.
You have a caller.
Okay, sure, let me do that before we play the rest of the movie. Go ahead, call in. Hello, Fred.
Hey there, Maggie. Yeah, the water fluoridation poisoning commenced in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1945. There's some really super stellar documentaries on BitChute. There's a 7-minute one by True Stream Media, Aaron and Melissa. You won't believe what they admitted to. This is in the 70s. You won't believe what they admitted to. You got to eat. I wish this could be posted. You won't believe what they admitted. And this is news accounts. And they list the year 1971, but it's True Stream Media on BitChute. You won't believe what they admitted to. And then there's one called Uninformed Consent. Uninformed Consent. Uninformed Consent, also on BitChute. It brings together exactly what you have been profiling regarding the lies of all the mortality figures. And the, I remember freezer trucks supposedly outside of like Bellevue Hospital, etc. And I think it's in that documentary, Uninformed Consent, where people actually went in there to these hospitals and filmed everything, and it was essentially vacant. And they did it also in the UK. So understanding the vaccine lies is a really great one. Look, you would think by now, and remember Robert Kennedy.
Yes.
He did a book, The Real Anthony Fauci. Well, there's a stellar documentarian, Greg Reese. It's only about 5 minutes. Fauci's Dead Babies and Mass Graves. Did you see that?
No, I haven't. Fauci, what's the name of it?
Fauci's Dead Babies and Mass Graves. Fauci's Dead Babies and Mass Graves. And it's 5 minutes on BitChute. It's totally derived. All the data, all the documentation is derived from Robert Kennedy and his network of attorneys that uncovered all this evidentiary proof. And it's all about experimenting on welfare children in the early 90s. They actually kidnapped via, you know, CPS, welfare children of various ages, and then forced them into like AZT, really, really toxic pharmaceuticidic medicide, SynChem poison test, okay? They even describe in that five-minute documentary that they surgically implanted tubes directly into their gastrointestinal system for this purpose, okay? And then they cite this grave in Hawthorne, apparently a suburb of New York City. Hawthorne, where there's a mass grave, okay? But there is a super, you know about Karen Kingston, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I first found her a couple years ago on BitChute. The very first one was Stu Peters, COVID-19 deadly shots. And then she runs through everything. And by the way, she explains that EUA, emergency use authorization, applies if and only if the safety data is generated. If the safety data, and it was never generated, all the experimental mammals were killed within 2 to 4 days of the administration of the BioVorvax Divoc injection. All the lab mammals died.
Right.
Okay, within 72 hours. So emergency EUA applies only in the military during a war event, and, you know, apparently on orders, all right? But then, you know, there again, as a soldier, I don't have to obey an unlawful order. And if there is no authentically valid safety proof, I don't need to take it, and nobody does. And then this segues from Karen Kingston to David Martin, who was introduced on BitChute. It's a premeditated, planned mass murder event. That's the first one. The other one is this one's easier. COVID treasonous acts. He runs through the statutory code, and he explains just what I said about emergency use authorization. He pulls it right out of this statute. There's like seven criminal felony acts by Fauci, the CDC, NIH, all the mayors, all the governors that were on board with this planned scamdemic. They are all complicit and culpable relative to the criminal felony. It's called criminal coercion and domestic terrorism, believe it or not. Criminal coercion and domestic terrorism right there in the United States Code, and David Martin is the only one that has presented this, okay? All right, that one was COVID treasonous acts. Then last year he did one in Orem, Utah. Looks like the auditorium held like 1,000 people, standing ovations. And that was about, the title of that one was, mRNA vaccines aim to make everyone a bioweapon. Kind of a long title. It was David Martin a year ago in Orem, Utah. The BioVorvax aim to make everyone into a bioweapon. Okay. And that's a super stellar presentation. I wish everyone would watch that. And so what I've been doing now, with the more moderate, I just go out in my neighborhood and I walk, and I see people walking their dogs or taking a walk, and I have stuff on placards, okay, like chocolate bars you can get in cardboard envelopes, and most of the time you open it up and on the inside it's all blank. So I just write the stuff down and I hand it out to people, okay? That's what we have to do. We got to organize in our neighborhoods, start holding our time. I called my U.S. congressman 4 times, and they won't patch me through to D.C. When they found out what my subject matter was, I said, look, I just want to meet with him when he comes back here. And they said, well, you're going to have at most 2 minutes. Okay. And they don't want to hear about this stuff. Okay.
Right.
The guy, the aide, made it perfectly clear that this was not a subject matter topic that the congressman will be. I said, how do you know this? You haven't spoken with them. Well, we already know this. Okay. So apparently they've been already instructed by their money masters of AIPAC, et cetera, the FedRes, whatever, not to get into this. So we're going to have to force the issue, okay? We're
right,
going to have to force the issue, right?
Well, I appreciate you sharing this with us. I really do, Fred. Folks, that's Fred from Michigan, right, Fred? You're from Michigan?
Yeah, by the way, Maggie, I want to leave my phone number because I want to review this so I make sure you get the titles down.
Okay, would you give it to Mike, please? Don't hang up.
And Maggie, there's three super stellar legal presentations by law scholars that are absolutely immensely powerful. And, I mean, liberatingly empowering, okay? So, yeah, I'm going to leave my number there with my – I want to make sure – these are presentations that are still accessible on YouTube, and, man, are they powerful. I mean –
Well, then what you do is you leave your number with Mike, and then what I'll do – because we only have a few more minutes to go to the show. I've got to read this so you can hear these statistics, okay? Thank you, Fred.
Yeah.
So what he's sharing with you right now is that more and more evidence is coming forward, and there's getting to the point now where much of this information is irrefutable. There's no way they can sit there. They're even trying to say people are dropping over dead from climate change, okay, which is nothing but ridiculous. We all know that. It's not climate change that are causing basketball players and football players to all of a sudden keel over in the middle of the court or in the middle of the football field. Here, this came from Steve Kirsch. He's a personal friend of mine. He is a philanthropist, a self-made millionaire in Southern California, and he is devoting his life to exposing to the world what is really going on with these inoculations and the depopulation agenda. And getting rid of the elderly people first, the ones that are retired, that are what Bill Gates calls the useless eaters and feeders, okay? Steve Kirsch sent this to us. Exclusive stunning new data pulled from the Medicare database shows how each shot increases your risk of death. We can now see very clearly what is going on. Shot number one bumps your risk of death by around 20%. Shot number two bumps it another 20%. Shot number three bumps your risk another 10%. This was put up by Steve Kirsch on February 9th. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Wikipedia. Executive summary. He says, quote, I'm still gathering data from Medicare, but a consistent picture is emerging for Medicare participants under 80 years old. Shot number one increases your risk of death by around 20% with an exponential time constant of around 150 days. Shot number two increases your risk of death by an additional 20% with a time constant of around 100 days. Shot number three increases your risk of death by additional 10% with a time constant of around 50 days. Due to limitations by the Medicare data, missing vaccination data on nearly half the records, it's not clear whether the shots reduce your risk of death from COVID. We need data that the public health authorities are refusing to provide. If the shots worked, they'd want to make this data public. Keeping the data under wraps suggests that the shots not only make you more likely to die from all causes, but they also make you more likely to die from COVID. The data, here's the data. I'll explain more in the next section about the data. This is Medicare death data for those under 80 years old pulled from all 50 states. The graphs are deaths after the vaccine shot in by day. So an x-axis value of 100 means you died 100 days after you got that shot. And the vertical axis is the count of deaths at the time distance from that shot number. Let's see. We have Dave in Nevada. So we'll stop right there. Dave, you have something you would like to add?
I'm just curious as to how people are supporting Donald Trump still after he supported vaccines and he basically pushed the entire vaccine program onto the United States with Operation Warp Speed.
Okay, let me answer that for you. Let me answer that for you, Dave. That's a question a lot of people are asking, and they've also asked me recently, would you vote for Trump again if he was to run? The jury's still out on that one. I was pretty angry, and so Dave's question, folks, is a very good one. Thank you, Dave, for calling with that question. I asked this question of many professionals, of some people I knew in the military that are against the military-industrial complex. I asked this question of Juan O'Savin. And the answer was, if Trump had said, no, we're not going to do this, he would have gotten such a backlash from the Democrats in the Senate and Congress and created such a situation that it could have led to something like a civil war. Okay, so his feeling was, okay, they're pushing for this, they're insisting on this. One president cannot control all the news media, cannot control all the Democrats and the spin. And he was trying to put out fires they were creating left and right. And he did a pretty damn good job for 4 years, despite all the shit that they were throwing at him. And I mean, they were throwing stuff. It was like incomings by the second, not just by the day or the week, but by the second. So his feeling was, this is what I'm going to do. So he sent two ships. He sent the Hope, one of them to New York and one to L.A. And, of course, you had people like Rachel Maddow. I call her Mad Cow. She's on MSNBC, you know, poo-pooing the fact he would never get the hospital ship to Los Angeles in time. He not only did it in time, but he did it early. And it turned out that what was going on with Cuomo and many of the others in New York City is they were making money off of killing people. See, the thing is, people were not dying of COVID. They were dying from not being given the protocols of ivermectin or the liquid vitamin C and the zinc that they needed and the D3 that they needed, okay? So what was happening was, is that his ship got in there, but they were keeping the people in the hospitals or telling them to stay home. And later the National Guard would go from apartment to apartment in New York and finding dead bodies because people were told, if you're sick, stay home. Don't come to the hospital, stay home. And they were dying in their homes. And it's because this COVID that was released to the world at the same time was actually a bioweapon created with SARS and the cold and the flu. And some say there was HIV in it. So what Trump was trying to do is saying, look, it, if they're going to try to push for this warp speed, and he's taking the advice of Fauci, and he's taking the advice of that female doctor that was with him from Walter Reed. And basically his attitude is, okay, if these people want to go and they want to take these shots without informed consent, with not knowing what the chemicals are in them, then it is people's prerogative to do this if they want to do this. He probably got normal saline. I don't believe he actually took the COVID shot. I believe he took normal saline. And even if he got sick and they said he was sick, he bounced back. For all we know, they even poisoned him. So the thing is those people, like my mother, my father-in-law, three of my cousins that were listening to CNN and MSNBC and all the warmongering was going on, they were the ones that were saying, oh, you know, we're being told that we are selfish if we don't take these shots. We are being threatened with losing our jobs. We're being threatened with having our children taken away from us if we don't take these shots. People like my family members that didn't take the shots, that chose to lose their job rather than take the shots. They were the ones listening to that intuition inside, that little voice, whatever you want to call it. Don't do this. It wasn't just so much a wait and see. It's don't do this. Now, if Trump is still talking about warp speed and how he sees nothing wrong with the shots right now, then I do question that, okay? Because he is very much aware of the fact that people are dying by the thousands around the world. Whether or not he owns stock in the big pharmaceuticals, I do not know. But I'm not going to be presumptuous enough to say that Trump was completely aware of everything that he was being misled. He was the president. He was told, if you don't push this forward while we're in crisis, it could be basically your downfall before your administration is even through, okay? And he really truly believed that he was going to win the election in 2020. He truly believed that. And I have already been to Las Vegas. I've met with many of the cybersecurity professionals that were able to prove to me that Germany, China, and the United States of America were all complacent and working together to corrupt that election. So when you keep hearing MSNBC and all these other news media saying, oh, you know, he's spouting the fact that the election was stolen and it's just a bunch of poppycock. No, I truly believe the election was corrupted. By how much? I don't know. Is Trump still pushing the shots now? If he is, then I have issue with him. Because by now he knows how many people have died on the football fields, the basketball fields. People like my father-in-law had two heart attacks. The second one took him out. 8 days later, my mother, who had taken the Moderna, died of a combination of blood clots, and they euthanized her. How do they kill our elderly parents in the hospital when we go home at night and we're not going to come back till the next day to see our loved ones? They euthanize them with morphine. They increase the morphine so they stop breathing. Morphine, you have to be very careful because it will depress your respiratory. This is how they're euthanizing around the world. Many of our senior citizens are aged, are infirm. Those people with disabilities, they're using morphine and other drugs to do it. And British Nurses Alliance in England actually has come forward, named a few of the medications that were ordered by the bucketfuls. And then many of the morticians around Europe were finding that when they went to pick up the bodies, where it was normally one or two or three a week, they were picking up 10, 15, 20 bodies a week, each mortician. And they were noticing this one particular medication was actually in all the records. So they have been deliberately euthanizing our elderly around the world. If Trump is still pushing as of today, 2023, no, I would not vote for him. We've got Lynn on the line.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate hearing you, Maggie Rose. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm sorry about your family members. You have my sympathy. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I lost three cousins to the Pfizer, too. So my father-in-law, my mother to the Moderna, and three cousins ages 31 to 72 to Pfizer.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking. I'm so sorry.
It's okay, darling.
I'm truly sorry. The reason I was calling the gentleman who called, who seemed to kind of hit a wall with a member of Congress's office, I just wanted to share some information that he might find helpful. Before I do that, I think it's Liberty Station. It's on Sunday mornings. I'm Eastern time. So it's 11 o'clock with Chris. He had a good doctor on this past Sunday that anybody might want to listen to. It's 2 hours from 11 to 1 Eastern on RBM. Also, if you call down to Capitol Hill to reach somebody, you'll probably have much better luck. And if you just want to leave a message, I call after hours and just leave it on the voicemail. But whenever I call, I say my name, and then I ask the person's name who answered the phone and write it down. And okay. I've developed some good relationships with people on Capitol Hill that way. The telephone number for the switchboard for the U.S. Capitol is 202-224-3121. I'll say it again, 202-224-3121. And all you need to know is where you live. The operators will help you. But if you want a congressional directory, which I would recommend, if you use the internet, you can buy the one from C-SPAN, which is pretty much the same as I get, but you need the internet for C-SPAN. Or I order mine from CQ Roll Call.
Okay.
And their telephone number is 877-827-3321. 877-827-3321. And they come out with a new one, like the beginning of the Congress. And so the new one's coming out, I guess, the beginning of next month. The other thing is I find listening to C-SPAN's Washington Journal in the morning really helpful, and you can call in, and there are over a million people that listen every day, and you can call in once a month and say what you have to say. And that's cspan.org, or if there's somebody who doesn't have the internet, you can listen to that by phone.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Can I send a number to listen by phone? Because I know there are a couple of people
okay,
that don't
go
have
ahead.
The internet. 641-741-2541. And you can also get it on your TV if you have cable.
Okay, so then okay, number 641.
I appreciate it so much. I really do. And calling Congress makes a difference. You, staffers will help you, and they'll take a message and pass it on to the congressman or senator.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Pat, we've just got a minute. By the way, FYI, that show is called The Liberation Station with Chris Steiner. Again, Mike put that up. The show is The Liberation Station with Chris Snyder. We're going to have to play these other two clips again on Friday that I was starting to play. So we will go and take one more call from Pat from Fort Worth.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you about a book called The Man Who Ran Washington. And it's not the the one who was the lawyer for the FBI, in the book, it's over 700 pages, and it says that I don't have it, so I'm just taking the words of somebody who has it. It's not hard to get; it's just too much to do. But it says that Melania is the one who pushed him. You got to pay attention to this pandemic. You got to do it. And so I guess she pushed him into it, and he hasn't jumped on her about it. But the other thing is, too, that what you were saying is true. What you were saying is true. And he did try, I forgot the date now, but anyway, he made them send the hospital, send all the data of anybody that they said passed away to a place in Washington, not to CDC. All of a sudden, the number of people dying from COVID stopped getting told every day.
Right. I agree. I agree. And that was, a lot of it was fear-mongering, Lynn, as you know. And from what you know, I mean, Pat, as you know, people in Nevada, people in Michigan, people, you know, at Fort Worth, people in California and Oregon, everything on the news, we were being browbeat over and over and over again with this fear-mongering. And that's why, like I said, I have a friend who's just suffered four strokes within 12 hours, because at the end of January, this individual took the fourth shot, the fourth inoculation. And so the thing is, I've asked the person, are you going to take another one? And they wouldn't give me an answer. So thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate it. That was Fred from Michigan, Dave from Nevada, Lynn from Minnesota, I think it was, and Pat from Fort Worth. And the person that was mentioned, Karen Kingston. Karen Kingston is a former analyst for Pfizer. You can find her on BitChute and on YouTube. Again, Karen Kingston was the former analyst for Pfizer, and she takes us through the FDA information on the true efficiency and the dubious testing methods that were used for these inoculations. It's very shocking, but folks, it's not surprising. I'll be back on this topic again on Friday evening, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and thank you for the call-ins. God bless and have a good night. Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? Lord, give us time.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.